Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to pull a couple words out of Hebrews chapter number 12 tonight. Look in verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I want to pull two words out of this verse. Nevertheless, afterwards. Now, if you was here this morning, I preached the context of this scripture. I preached on the chastening hand of God and dealt thoroughly with that out of these verses this morning. But I want to look at those two words, nevertheless, afterwards. And I want to say this tonight. I'm glad that there is a nevertheless afterwards to some things in our life. Amen. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd use us, give us the mind of Christ tonight. Help us, Lord, to preach in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, this morning we looked at this and the context of the scripture is dealing with God correcting his children, and we looked at that this morning, and we looked in verse number 3, for consider him. And when we consider him, it should cause us to want to serve him more. And I dealt with all of that in the introduction. Tonight, I just want to think about that little two words, nevertheless, afterwards. And I want to say this, in our life tonight, there is storms that will come our way. The preacher talked to us tonight and was telling us about a storm that they have been in. And I want to say this tonight, the storm does not always mean that it is the correcting hand of God in our life. Sure, there is times that the storm is the correcting hand of God in our life. We can see that in the life of David. We can see that in the life of Samson, and on we can go. But there is times that God allows us to enter the storm to mature us and to mold us and to make us in to what he wants us to be. But can I say this also? I sure am glad there is a nevertheless afterwards to those storms. God did not put us in the fire to stay. God did not put us in the storm to stay. I want to say this to you tonight about the storm. God has an intention for your life for being in that storm. We may never understand it this side of eternity. Amen. But God does. You study Job's life. Job didn't know any more about his storm in chapter 42 than he did in chapter number 1. But Job knew more about the sovereign in chapter 42 than he did in chapter number 1. That is the intention of the storm. It is to mold us and to make us into what we need to be. I want you to go back to Acts chapter number 26 with me tonight. Acts chapter number 26. And I want you to I don't even have no points tonight, okay? And I know that's like way off topic for me. But I don't, all right? But I just got a thought. That's all I got. Nevertheless, afterwards, we all face hard times in our life. Nevertheless, afterwards, what happens afterwards? And I want to look at Paul in a storm, and let's look at nevertheless afterwards at the end of this tonight. I thought about this. I don't know. Some of you may have read the book, Streams in the Desert. Some of you may have picked that up and read some of it. Here's a little excerpt out of that book, Streams in the Desert. There was a man that owned a castle on the banks of the Rhine River in Germany. He stretched wires between the towers of his castle, hoping that when the wind blew, it would play music on them like a harp. He waited for the breezes to blow, but unfortunately, when they did, nothing happened. Sometime later, a great storm devastated the area, and gale force winds blew upon the castle. When the gentleman stood at the window to survey the countryside, he suddenly began to hear one of the most beautiful sounds he had ever heard. The wind from the hurricane was playing upon the wires, and it could be heard above the storm. The writer of Streams in the Desert went on to say this: rain, rain, beating against the pane. How endlessly it pours out the doors from the blackened sky. Wonder why. Flowers, flowers, upspringing after showers, blossoming fresh and fair everywhere. Oh, God has explained why it rained. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? That man who thought that those strings would never play, it was not until the storm came that he heard what he was longing to hear. Sometimes in our life, God, you know what it was? It was a nevertheless afterward. Are you hearing me tonight? It was a nevertheless afterward. Sometimes God will allow the storm to come in our life. We're not exempt from that. We're going to face it. We're going to have to learn to deal with it and move on. Let me tell you a little bit about Paul right here. I love to study Paul's life. He's an amazing man to study. A matter of fact, whenever I done my bachelor's and my doctorate, I wrote on the life of Paul. And in Acts chapter number 26, I'm not going to read it. Now, I could read it and I could say a lot about it. But I'm going to be brief tonight. I'm going to try my best to be brief tonight. But I said I'm going to try. But here's what you find out. In Acts chapter number 26, Paul goes before Agrippa. And Paul, as he is presenting his case before Agrippa, begins to do what Paul does, well, every time he sees somebody. He begins to tell them what God has done for him, how God has blessed him. And you want me to tell you the only reason that Paul is where he's at? Because he was serving God. That's why. Paul was not out ripping around, raising the devil, and finds himself in trouble. Paul is serving God and finds himself in this mess. He goes before Agrippa. He begins to tell him what God done for him, how God calls him to preach. He goes on, and then the Bible said this in verse number 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa says, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I wish you saved, but not in prison. That's what he's saying. He said, I wish you was like me with the exception of these bonds. Look what he says in verse number 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Look at verse 32. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. You know what Paul does? They're probably going to set Paul free. And Paul says, nope, I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Caesar. I want to go to the Supreme Court. Can I say it that way? Paul says, I want to go somewhere. Why did Paul want to go anywhere? You said, preacher, I thought you were talking about nevertheless afterwards. Stay with me. Why did Paul want to go anywhere else? Because he wanted to tell somebody else about God. He wanted to do something else for Christ. He wanted to witness to somebody else. So you know what happens? Chapter number 27 takes place. Chapter number 27 in Paul's life, they get on a boat. And when they get on the boat, Paul says, we better not sail. And you know what they said? Well, I think we will sail. And Paul said, boys, you better not sail. But you know what they done? They decided to listen to somebody besides the man of God. Amen. They listened to somebody else, and you know what ended up happening in chapter number 27? They meet Euryclidon. Y'all ever heard of Euryclidon? You know who Euryclidon was? He's a big old storm. Matter of fact, the storm is so great, whenever you read chapter number 27, that they lose hope of even making it. Why is Paul in the midst of this big storm? He's just serving God. He's just living for the Lord. He's just trying to tell somebody about God. I thought about this. I told you I didn't have no points, but I wrote a couple things down. I'll throw it out as I walk through here. Whenever you look through chapter 27, their control was lost. Look in verse number 15. If you've not read it, look at verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. Verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up it into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. So they lost control. The Bible said in verse number 18 and 19, their cargo was lost. Verse number 20, the contact was lost. Look what he said in verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Hey, look, they didn't get out their phone and call 911 in that day. They didn't pick up the radio on the boat and say, mayday, mayday, mayday. This is the boat that Paul's on and we're going down, baby. They didn't do that. The way that they charted their course was by the sun, the moon, and the stars. They have now lost contact. Look at this. I thought about this. I've turned a page. Let me get it turned back. Their confidence was lost. Look in verse number 20 again. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we, you know what they said? We've had it. It's over. They probably already saw themselves go down in the water for the third time. I don't believe that you go down once and then you come up and you go down twice and come up and you go down the third time and never come back up. I jumped in one time and couldn't swim and I just went down. That's what happened. I went down. Jonathan Shore jumped in and pulled me back up. Thank God, or I wouldn't be here today. Now, think about this. Paul is in the middle of serving God. Paul is in the middle of doing everything that Paul was supposed to do. Paul is trying his best to live for God. Paul's trying his best to live right and walk right and talk right and do right. He's trying his best to tell everybody that he can tell about God. And he did, because he closes his life saying that he was innocent of all men's blood. And Paul finds himself in a mess, simply trying to serve God. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been honestly trying your best to live right and to walk right and to talk right and to do right? And maybe, as Brother Knowles just told us, the ministry that you was involved in was at the very peak of any that it had ever been on. And all of a sudden, it seems like your world comes crashing in around you. Why does God let things like that happen? If you ever figure it out, well, I'll be glad to lend an ear and listen. The only thing that I can figure out is it's for our maturity. God is trying to mold us and to make us into something. Well, now they've lost all hope. The Bible said that, verse number 21, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. If I'd have been Paul, I'd have looked out and said, you bunch of dummies, I tried to tell you we was fixing to get in a mess. Now somebody say amen, because you'd have probably said something besides dummies there. I tried to tell y'all that we was fixing to get in a mess. Paul said, I told you this.
What ends up happening? They end up going on down. They ended up loosening the rudder band. They ended up letting the ship drive itself. And the Bible said this, that they end up crashing. The ship ends up busting into pieces. And in verse number 1 of chapter number 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. Now, I've preached a lot out of chapter 28. I've preached on some things at the First Baptist Church of Melita that we need at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. When they got over there to Melita, they found a friendly welcome. They found a fire a burning. They found some things there, and we need that. I've preached on I've been bitten, but I'm not quitting out of Acts chapter number 28. But I seen something this week that I never saw. I've always read it, but it just didn't register to me. Can I show it to you and I'll be done? Whenever you study Paul's life, and matter of fact, in some Bibles, if it's a study Bible, there may even be a little map down there at the bottom of your page that is charting this course out that Paul has went on. And if you'll look, way over here to the side is a little bitty dot that's called Melita. And you know what I found out about Melita? Here's what I found out about the island of Melita. I found this out, that it's 95 square miles, that's all, that the island of Melita is. The Mediterranean Sea is where they were sailing at. And you know what I found out about the Mediterranean Sea, Brother Dakota, when I went to studying this? The Mediterranean Sea, are you with me? Is everybody awake? Is 965,300 square miles. Can I just say it this way? It's big. And it's real big. It's huge. And God takes this boat in the middle of over 900,000 square miles and lands it on a 95 square mile island. Are you hearing me? God, did everybody hear the very first word? God takes this boat and guides it through Euroclydon, keeps it together until it gets to a place where they can safely make it in to Melita. Why? Because God had something for Paul to do at Melita. God, why did Paul go through all of that? Why did Paul face the storm that he faced? Why did God appeal, or why did Paul appeal to go to Rome? Here's the reason why. There was a little 95 square mile island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea that God had for Paul to pay a visit to. Now watch this. You all know the story. Paul gets snake bit. He was the only one trying to keep the fire burning. And you know, I find it interesting that snake never went to crawling till the fire got to burning. And then whenever the fire goes to burning, the snakes will go to crawling. That snake was dormant. It was disguised. It was disrupted. And then it was devastating to Paul. But it ended up being destroyed because he was thrown back into the fire from whence it came. And can I just say this? There's another serpent that's crawling around that's the same way. But thank God one day he'll be destroyed because he'll be bound hand and foot and can't cast off into hell. Amen. But watch this. You know that. He shakes it back off. The Bible said in verse number 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they charged their minds and said that he was a god. Now, I've always stopped right there. I've always read the rest of the chapter, but I always stopped. This week I was studying. And Brother Dakota, I read back through this. Watch verse number 7. The Bible said this. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. Man, I'm glad my mama didn't name me that. Who received us, watch this, and lodged us 3 days courteously. Look in verse number 8. And it came to pass, the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him. What does the Bible say? And healed him. Look at verse number 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Nevertheless, afterwards. Here's what I wrote down in my Bible, and I'm done tonight. Paul went through the storm with sailors that wouldn't listen, endured the fiery serpent bite, healed the sick so the Savior would be magnified. Nevertheless, afterwards, after the storm was over, why did the storm come? Why did Paul have to face what he faced? Why did Paul have to be at the point of death? Why did Paul have to get bit by the serpent? Why did all of that have to take place in Paul's life? Here's the reason why. There was somebody needed help, and Paul was the one that could help him. Paul had to go through what he went through so he could help the man that needed help. And I just want to ask you a question tonight. Miss Tina starts playing softly. I want to ask you a question tonight. If God, now I understand the context of Hebrews 12. I preached it this morning. I'm just bringing those two words out and making an application after it tonight. If God, are you listening to me tonight? If God can guide a little wood boat in the middle of 965,000 square miles of a Mediterranean Sea into a little island that was 95 square miles. I mean, it don't even make a good dot on the map. It don't even make a good dot on the map. All of this other place out here, Brother Kevin, God could have put that boat anywhere else. But he knew there was a nevertheless afterwards that needed to take place. And God let that boat go through what it went through, held it together as long as he did, for it to burst apart right before it got to Melita, so all of them could make it into Melita. Why? Because the man that was the head honcho over there had a daddy that was sick and needed a man of God to come visit him. And God, there ain't a doubt in my mind, God sent revival to the island of Melita because of that. Preacher, why am I in the storm that I'm in right now? Because God might be going to use you to help bring revival in somebody else's life. I've said this many times. I don't know what it's like to stand beside my daddy's dying bed. I don't know what it's like to stand beside my mama's dying bed. I've never been there. I thought we was going to be there back in November and October and November when Daddy had COVID. I really did. That's as close as I've ever come to that. You know, I've never known what that's like. But you know what's going to happen one day if I outlive my mom and daddy and the Lord and don't come back to get us? You know what's going to happen one day, Brother Randy? I'm going to have to stand at that place. And some of you has already weathered that storm, and you're on the other side of that now. You've already made it to your nevertheless afterwards. And you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to walk up beside your pastor like he's done you many times. And you're going to be able to put your arm around your pastor like he does you in your dark days. And you're going to be able to help nevertheless afterwards. God's got you where you're at right now for a reason. We may not understand it right now. I couldn't imagine going through what Brother Kevin and his wife had to go through and come home from the mission field. I couldn't imagine that. But you know what? God knew what was going on. Nevertheless, afterwards, I would say next year at this time, they'll be doing more than they've ever done over there. Because I promise you, there's a God in heaven going to honor them for taking care of their parents. Nevertheless, afterwards, I say, preacher, my boat's coming apart. Preacher, my boat, I just, I, right before service started, I looked at my phone. There was a message on my phone from a young preacher. And here's what he said. He said, please pray for me. He said, please pray for me. He said, I feel like I'm just drawn apart. He said, pray for me. You know what? I don't know where your boat's at right now. I don't know if your boat's still together or you feel like your boat's come all apart and you just like some of these boys, you hanging on to a broken piece right now. And I tell you something. When you get to Melitta, God will let it land safely. And there'll be somebody at Melitta that God will use you. Use you to help. There's some things that I can't help people with. I'm reading a book right now and laying some things out for the future. And in reading that, there's some of the things in that book that I can understand better. I can reason with. But there's some things in it, Brother Stan, that I can't reason with at all because I've never rowed that boat, if I can say it that way. Nevertheless, afterwards, God didn't put Paul in that storm to kill him. God put Paul in that storm to mature him and help him. God put Paul in that storm to get him to Melitta. To get him to Melitta so that he could help somebody else. Now I ask you this in closing. Are you going to allow that storm to make you bitter? Or are you going to allow God to take that storm and mold your life into what He needs it to be? So when you get to Melitta, you can do what God has for you to do. I just say it this way, everybody's got a Melitta. Everybody's got a Melitta. What are you going to do when you get there? Father, I pray as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, God, that you take our feeble efforts and bless them. God, there is a nevertheless afterwards to the storm in our life. God didn't put us here to stay. God didn't put us in the midst of this just so our ship would fall apart and we'd feel like we was going down for the last time. God put us here to train us, to teach us. And God, may we take this time when it may seem like everything's falling in around us. Lord, may we take this time and let it prepare us for Melitta. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. There's several in the altar. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. She's going to play through a verse of invitation. You do business with Him as only you can. If you're in the storm tonight, they sure is a good place right here to come get. You may leave and still be in the storm, but man, it's good to know that He's in the storm with us. God, hey, if God can guide that boat and put it at Melitta, do you not think God can guide your storm and God can guide your life?